today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
So right now may be the perfect time for you to rethink how you pay for health care. And here's why. This time of year is decision time for a lot of people, but it's also when you can join MediShare and save even more than usual. For many families, joining MediShare means saving about $500 a month, which is a game changer for a lot of people, obviously. But what's more, MediShare members like it a lot. Their satisfaction rate is 98%. Imagine that. And MediShare is a proven thing, too, for over 30 years. It's a Christian community of hundreds of thousands of people now. And here's the thing. If you join before October 30th and you mention the promo code SHARE, they'll waive your application fee. So you save even more right off the bat. I'll give you the number here in a second, but just call and you'll get a price within 2 minutes. And again, the deadline is October 30th. So call now. You'll save even more. Here's the number. 866-89-BIBLE. That's 866-89-BIBLE. 866-89-BIBLE.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM, Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. A week and a day until Election Day, but more than 41 million Americans have voted early, including President Biden in Wilmington, Delaware today. He was asked about the Trump rally at Madison Square Garden on Sunday.
It's simply embarrassing. Beneath any president, but that's what we're getting used to.
Trump's campaign seeking to distance itself from the jokes told by a little-known comic before Trump took the stage. One line that Puerto Rico is a floating island of garbage. An investigation today of fires in two early ballot boxes in Portland and nearby Vancouver, Washington State, an incendiary device found inside. Philadelphia's district attorney is suing Elon Musk and his political action committee over his controversial $1 million giveaway for registered voters. McDonald's Quarter Pounders are being brought back to the menu in most locations where they were taken off over E. coli fears linked to onions. World Series Game 3 in New York tonight. This is ABC News. NATO has confirmed that North Korean troops are in Russia to help its war against Ukraine. Some troops have been deployed in Russia's Kursk border region. This as Russian forces thwart an attempt at another cross-border incursion by Ukraine.
According to the local Russian governor, an armed group sought over the weekend to breach the border between Ukraine and Russia's southwestern Bryansk region, but it was reportedly beaten back. The situation now, he adds, is stable and under the control of the Russian military. It comes months after Kyiv staged an assault into the neighboring Kursk region. Tom Rivers, ABC News at the Foreign Desk.
A new dog walking record. Guinness has certified that a man from Canada walked 38 dogs at the same time. To set the record, he had to control all of them for more than half a mile. All the dogs who took part in the record-breaking walk were rescues and were put up for adoption. I'm Dave Packer, ABC News.
If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With Venture X, earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. Plus, receive premium travel benefits like access to over 1,300 airport lounges where you just check in and chill out. Open up a world of possibilities with Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Everyone on the road is trying to make it to their destination safely. You can help by staying aware of the large trucks and buses around you. They take longer to stop, have large blind spots, and make wide turns that require caution from other drivers. It takes all of us working together to share the road safely. Learn more at www.sharetheroadsafely.gov. Paid for by FMCSA.
Wisconsin Radio Network News. I'm Ted Ayling. A busy midweek is coming on the Wisconsin presidential trail.
Wednesday, Vice President Kamala Harris will be in Madison. Former President Donald Trump in the Green Bay area. Trump hosts a rally at the Resch Center in Ashwaubenon, joined by former Packers quarterback Brett Favre. The event starts at 6. Harris will be on the University of Wisconsin campus for a noon Get Out the Vote concert and rally featuring musical artists Gracie Abrams, Mumford & Sons, Remy Wolf, and members of The National. Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
In addition to the Wednesday events, Republican Vice Presidential candidate J.D. Vance campaigns in Racine today, while First Lady Jill Biden and Gwen Walls, wife of Harris's running mate, Minnesota Governor Tim Walls, will be in La Crosse. Agents with the Wisconsin Department of Justice sought cell phones, computers, and other devices as part of an investigation for possible election fraud by Wausau Mayor Doug Dinney. That's according to a copy of a search warrant obtained by WISP Politics. During a press conference last week, Dinney said agents said little when they served the warrant at his office.
I'll respectfully say that I had very little speaking opportunity when they were confiscating my material in my office. I mean, we all know what happened. One would have expected a conversation with the mayor as to, you know, what happened, but that has yet to happen.
Dinney said agents also showed up at his apartment where his wife was watching their grandchildren. The 7-page warrant was signed by an Eau Claire County judge. The DOJ investigation stems from Dinney's actions last month when he removed the city's ballot drop box from the front of City Hall to his office. The drop box was locked and not yet in use, and it remains unclear what law Dinney may have broken. The box has since been returned and is in use.
Worthington, Minnesota continues to shine. It's worth a look. We've expanded so many things. It's a time of growth. We've expanded recreation activities with our indoor ice arena, our indoor turf rec center and playground, and our outdoor water park, Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look. Our schools have expanded, and so has our industry. We're continuing to expand our population also, with lots ready to build on Glenwood Heights. So let's grow together in Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Partly sunny today and unseasonably warm. That's thanks to the south breeze whipping up to 30 miles per hour, taking our temperatures to the low 70s. As they continue to stay feisty overnight and through tomorrow, we spike to 80 degrees. All ahead of rain rolling in on Wednesday into Thursday. Grandpa's Barbecue Sauce. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. Right now, it's 62 degrees.
The commodity world absorbed a fair amount of selling today with the heaviest selling in the energy markets. Grains were lower with the soy complex leading price declines, but wheat and corn were willing followers to the downside. Livestock futures were a bright spot in commodities with live cattle slightly higher, feeders solidly higher, and moderate gains in lean hogs.
Live with lively livestock trade via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, we'll begin with a conversation with Sam Hudson from Corn Belt Marketing. Later, Kerry Artak from Artak Advisory and WickedStocks.com. And directly following the news, Jack Scoville from the Price Futures Group. I'm the handsome newsman, Davis Michelson. And now, here's the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
All right, Davis. Hey, thank you so much. Yeah, kind of a rough start to the week in the grain markets. Some hefty pressure was and some hefty selling was absorbed by the markets. Looking forward to the conversation with Sam Hudson, Corn Belt Marketing. Try to put a little perspective on that with Jack Scoville, Price Futures. Man, oh, man, oh, man. We're off and running this week to the downside. Yeah. I don't know if I like that or not. The markets have done so well during this harvest. I just wonder if today didn't kick off, you know, maybe another leg to the downside. I don't know. We'll talk to Sam about it. Okay.
Well, we could use the C word here, crude oil. That being, I'm looking at the December contract. Let's see, at last report here, 415 lower in the WTI crude oil contract. Look out to the March, still down $4, 66.68 for the March crude oil contract, Chip.
Yeah, that was crazy. Almost catastrophic.
Nearly.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Looking forward to all the discussions today. Beautiful day up here. It's a little cloudy. But we've got it. It's over 60 degrees. Heck, it's 70 degrees up here in northeast Iowa. What is today? October 28th?
Monday the 28th.
October 28th. And it is 70 degrees up here in northeast Iowa. Crazy.
Yeah.
All right, man. Let's get to it.
Yeah.
Oh,
generally.
What?
What? We can talk about it later. We'll talk about it later. Stick around for more, everyone. A generally negative tone spread across the commodity world, with crude oil futures leading the way to the downside after Israel decided against retaliatory attacks on Iranian oil fields. Wheat export inspections in the weekend of October 24 totaled nearly 249,000 metric tons, and that was at the low end of trade expectations. Price pressure was also the result of a weather forecast calling for some rain in the U.S. Central and Southern Plains, the Midwest, and even in the Pacific Northwest over the next 10 days. December soft red winter wheat futures gapped lower, rallied to fill the gap, and then fell back to close at session lows and below 560 for the first time since August 30. December HRW wheat futures 10.5 cents lower at 561.5. December soft red wheat down 10.25 to 558.75 in December. Yeah. Spring wheat looks like we're looking at last report down 10.25, 595 even. I was going to bring up those rains. They're predicting like almost 1.5 inches of rain here in Kansas City on Wednesday, Chip.
Right, right. And it's one of those deals where the rain forecast is, it's gaining momentum, but I can't fight this, I'll believe it when I see it kind of attitude that I got towards these rains.
Yes, yes. Nature can be cruel. Export inspections of corn weekend at October 24 totaled nearly 824,000 metric tons. That also at the low end of trade expectations. USDA also announced the sale of 124,000 metric tons of corn to Japan and 120,000 metric tons to unknown destinations, both of those sales for delivery in the 24-25 marketing year. Sharply lower crude oil prices also delivered spillover pressure on corn. Yeah. December corn futures gapped lower and then firmed to fill the gap and then fell to close near session lows. December corn futures were 4.5 cents lower today at 410.75. March corn down 4.75 cents to 424.75. July corn futures closed at 437.75, down 3.75 cents, Chip.
Yeah, now the market did firm to fill the gap, but it's that gap lower that just kind of put gave me a negative attitude about the way that the markets performed today.
Yeah. Well, soybean export inspections weekended October 24 totaled 2.93 million metric tons. That was in line with lofty trade expectations. Soybean oil traded sharply lower on spillover pressure from crude oil futures. Brazilian bean plantings as of late last week advanced to 36%. That was 4 points behind last year's pace, but was up 18 points in the week as beneficial rains covered a wide area of Brazil's Mato Grosso, the top soybean producing state in that country. January beans opened lower and on session highs closed near session lows. Dece bean meal closed at the lowest level since August 23. December bean oil gapped lower and opened on session highs, closed near session lows there. Jan beans 11.5 lower, 986. March beans down 10.75, 998.25. July beans closed at 1025.5, down 10.25 cents, Chip.
Yeah, bean oil left that gap open. So that might be some sort of a measuring gap for a downside correction.
Well, Chip, December cotton today was 30 points lower at 70.36. Turning to the livestocks, heavyweight choice graded boxed beef surged $2.37, while select graded boxed slipped 66 cents to push the choice select spread over 30 bucks. Movement was slow, but overall demand helped December live cattle post a low range open and a high range close today. Dece live cattle 12.5 cents higher, 189.27.5. Novi feeders up 62.5 to 249.20. And December lean hogs gapped slightly higher, fell back to fill the gap, and then rallied to a new contract high and contract high close. Dece hogs 95 cents higher on the day, 80.62.5, Chip.
Momentum is still on the side of the longs in that hog market. It's pretty impressive. All right, Davis, thank you so much. Jack Scoville, Price Futures Group. Good afternoon, Jack. How are you?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Not too bad. Better than what the markets did today. Kind of on the defensive. Seems like the market, is it opening up another leg to the downside?
Well, it could be. I kind of viewed this as more of an event type of sell-off. The fact that the Israelis did not bomb Iranian crude oil facilities or oil facilities in general. Mm-hmm. Sent the crude oil market down very sharply today, $4. And that, I think, was a drag on all the grains as well. It could be that this keeps on going, but it could be just a one-shot deal. I'm hoping for a one-shot deal, but I'm a little afraid that the market could keep going a little bit another day or two longer.
Yeah. Yeah, those gaps lower that some of the markets posted today were disappointing. I mean, they went and filled those gaps for the most part, except for in bean oil. Boy, that market seems very vulnerable, doesn't it?
Yeah, bean oil really does. And, of course, that would be pretty much directly affected by what's going on over in the crude oil market. And all world vegetable oil markets were down. Canola was down hard. Gapping lower, I believe. Palm oil did not gap lower, but they have their own fundamentals over there of tight supply. So that kind of held in a little better. But the soybean oil and the canola really took it on the chin.
Yeah, yeah. All right, Jack, good stuff, man. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay, great.
All right, Jack Scoville, Price Futures Group. Coming up next, we've got a lot of ground. Have the supply side questions been answered? What about this surge in demand? What kind of an impact might it have? Sam Hudson, Corn Belt Marketing, next.
AgMarket.net is releasing its upgraded app. The AgMarket.net app with revised MyFarm software is now available on Google Play and the Apple App Store. A desktop version is available through the website. Evaluate multiple profit scenarios, maintain a dashboard of farm marketing operations, and view local cash and futures bids. Track production costs, calculate dynamic break-evens, and record crop sales within multiple farms. Download it today at AgMarket.net or call 844-4AG-MRKT to learn more. There's a risk of loss in trading futures under options.
Wake up, get ready, grab breakfast, go to work, grab lunch, come home, run to practice, run to the store, grab dinner, go to bed, and repeat. Food fuels your day, and we fuel the people producing it with the latest news, information, and perspectives from across the globe. Ag Day is a place to learn about the business of food and farming. Join us and our team of experts as we cover the stories that keep the world moving. That's weekdays for Ag Day, the country experience.
No doubt you've heard of MetLife, but did you know that MetLife Investment Management has over 100 years of ag lending experience? The MetLife Investment Management team maintains close relationships with its borrowers and can structure a customized loan with flexible terms to meet your financial needs. Looking to expand, refinance, or recapitalize? Consider MetLife Investment Management. Learn more at MetLife.com/ag.
Okay, antibodies, huddle up. We're a great team, but the flu is dominating. The good news is the human we're protecting just got his flu shots. That means all of us antibodies have strong new gear that will help us fight and defend against the flu. We must win so that our human can stay healthy and help protect the people he cares about most.
Let's work as a team to defend against the flu. Gear up with a flu shot to help protect yourself and others and reduce your risk of being sick or hospitalized with the flu. Learn more at GetMyFluShot.org. Brought to you by the AMA, CDC, and the Ad Council.
Farmers, now's the time to apply lime to your fields from Lamb Ag Services. Lime reduces soil acidity, improves soil structure, promotes root growth, and improves crop yields. Lamb Ag Services sources lime from area quarries and offers straight or variable rates to match your field's soil needs. When you call Lamb Ag Services, there's no middleman. They answer the phone and do the work on your farm. Call Brian at 715-279-0267 for your lime application needs with Lamb Ag Services.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit WICorn.org and become a member today.
If the world is your oyster, we've got pearls of wisdom on AgriTalk.
Davis, you made it all the way to Monday afternoon. Congratulations.
All the way. All the way here. The way. You betcha. Yes. I'm ready to. Yeah. You know what? Let's add a third hour today. Huh? I'm ready. Let's do it. Let's go 5 to 6.
Hey, man.
Huh?
If you're ready to go. If you're Let's ready to go. Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
I'll see you there.
All right. Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. That's Davis. Today's guest analyst, Sam Hudson, Corn Belt Marketing. Sam, it is good to talk to you again. How are you?
Pretty good. I mean, harvest is over, so what do we do now?
Yeah, unbelievable, isn't it? It's October 28th. It feels like, yeah, you know what? When you get up into some of the northern areas of the Corn Belt, there's still plenty of crop to harvest, but it does feel like we're seeing more of it in the rearview mirror than what we've got in front of us, Sam. Market's done a kind of a nice job of absorbing it all, hasn't it?
Well, to a certain degree. I mean, beans were a buck higher a month ago, so I guess I could argue there on that a little bit, okay. But it's been somewhat methodical. You're right. You know, we took all the old crop, you know, off the board there at the end of August, found some short-term lows, and you know, we've been staring at the idea of these big crops for quite some time, you know, several months coming here after we, you know, finally got some rainfall. And I realized that we finished it pretty dry in a lot of areas, and I think that could, you know, end up tugging back down on some of those yields. But for the most part, a very big crop, and I think it's exciting to see it all come out actually so fast. And I guess at this point, we hope it does start raining so we can get some water in the rivers.
Yeah. Okay, so corn yield might pull back a little bit. What about soybeans, and is there enough downside risk on yield to move the needle on these markets?
Not necessarily. I mean, you mentioned the harvest, you know, pace. I mean, faster than a knife fight in a phone booth, really. I mean, when you think of it on the whole. And so when we saw these, you know, basis and spreads moving in the beans, I think, you know, part of it is just because it got, you know, done so quickly. We had dry crops, we had dry weather. But I tell you what, I do think Illinois is going to be a big one, probably a record. I don't know if it's what they say it is. But when you see irrigated yields struggling so bad out west, you got a lot of troubles in northwest Iowa, southern Minnesota. I just don't know. Those numbers actually were a little bit more disappointing than expected. And I think with where we're sitting, I would wager that you could bring that yield down a little bit. I don't know if it can happen fast enough. I don't know if it can happen enough in general. I think even if it does, by the time we learn of it, you're going to start to have some other things in the mix that probably matter as much or more.
Yeah. Okay. I would have thought that, and I think you kind of pinpoint the area. You did pinpoint the area. Because I think basis has reflected and basis in those areas are telling us that there's a good crop, but it's far from a bin buster up in that northwest Iowa and Minnesota region.
That's right. Yeah. And I think that, you know, the scramble for basis and everything here is just, I think, mostly a function of that rapid harvest. It's kind of like musical chairs. You know, everyone mentioned everyone's sitting here just kind of waiting for it. If you're a buyer, an end user, commercial, whoever you are, you're kind of just sitting here waiting for the crop to come to you. And then all of a sudden you look around, you know, 14 days later and the music stopped and you start to, you know, chase what you need, what you don't have. All the while, you know, with, gosh, locally, we had 65, 70 cents of cash carry in the market from harvest till just December. And we eliminated that in a matter of about 2 weeks. You know, no one wanted to be hedged and trying to deliver in November when you got basis, you know, 70 under at the river.
Okay. So did farmers clean up most of their old crop inventory before they started this year's harvest?
Well, I sure hope so. there's some out there still, though. I mean, we purged a lot back there in August. But I tell you what, and I may have mentioned this to you before along the way, maybe a couple months ago, but we're just a small sample of a mid, you know, decent sized Midwest elevator. And I would say almost 10% of all the bushels we touched, you know, we're still rolled forward to this December contract. And I think that's what offers just kind of a quiet sentiment as we go into winter here. We've got the prospect of maybe cutting yields. We're really building demand, which is a great thing to see, but I just don't know how fast that machine can move. I think that offers the chance for, you know, a 380 to 420 type of, you know, flat cash corn price here into winter. I just don't see how it has to change a whole heck of a lot. And you're going to have those cash flow needs, you know, remaining a steady point of discussion here as we update these balance sheets this winter.
Okay. So supply side, maybe not enough to rally the market, but provide some stability, as you just said.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think it's possible you could still take this December contract down to that 390 level, something like that, as we get closer to delivery. Maybe we widen out the spread again in corn, you know, contrary to what we saw in soybeans. I just don't think the activity is going to be quite as hot and heavy there in the corn spreads and basis. We're not as front loaded on demand. So there's several reasons that can kind of come together to really push those beans around. But for corn, I think we're just kind of waiting now. We know generally what we've got. You know, we can argue yield all we want, but we can't, you know, sell and ship this stuff fast enough at this point. And again, I go back to the rivers. If we can start getting some water there, we can really increase our shipping capacity and at least conjure up an idea to play what if as we get closer to the end of the year.
Okay. Okay. You used the term that, dang it, man, I know it happens. I just don't like the way that the market usually performs around it, and that is front-loaded on the demand side of things. Is that what we're seeing now with corn?
Well, I think you're seeing that with soybeans. I think, you know, there's just this race. If you look at crush margins, our crush margins are as good as they've been in a year. And so if you're a processor, you got to get that ownership. You don't want to be fighting the exporter later on. Our export market's been very strong. It needs to be strong. But again, I think we can sell as much as we want. Where our shipment pace is going to be, you know, in January, February is really going to tell what is and is not possible. All the while we're trading the yield prospect in South America. And the one good thing I would say is there, we have taken some of that risk premium out of the market. But as dry as they started, we probably have a ceiling on production there that we can lean on for a while. We're just sitting here wondering if we can actually ratchet it down again in the future. And I think the real critical point is we got some rain in the forecast down there, but they need to continue to get that before their hot season starts. They haven't seen that yet. You start to pour some hot temperatures on this in 2-3 weeks of dry weather, and I see no reason why you wouldn't build that demand, or excuse me, build the market right back up again as long as we keep selling it.
Okay. So the South American situation, bottom line that for us. I mean, it because they are making good progress. I'm not sure that I want to get concerned about what's going on down in South America at this point. You?
No, definitely not. Okay. But I would say if it starts to boil up again, I mean, they got a lot of hedges on too. And so if there's ever a reason to bring them back out of that, that could take a bit of a, you know, a while, especially when you have an American farmer that's probably not going to be too excited to sell, you know, without an addition of premium. And so it's just this waiting game. I think I could see a lot more deviation. Soybeans, maybe a buck up, maybe a buck down. Corn is just going to be, I think, flatlined here for a while. I don't think farmers are going to be able to retain on to as much ownership either beyond March 1st when you got cash rents coming due. And we mentioned the balance sheet updates. When you got machinery depreciation hitting people as hard as it could hit this year, I just really think things are going to tighten up in general.
Okay. I want to talk a little bit more about South America and the influence on the overall market. Is it possible for the U.S. market, I'm talking about the Chicago Board of Trade, Mercantile Exchange, to trade more on the South American seasonals than on the U.S. seasonals going forward?
I think that's exactly where we're at for now anyway, is in this next cycle. Okay. I mean, we know we've got our carryout. You know, the problem with this right now is until you can come up with a reason to bring our carryout or stocks to usage, I guess we should say, back under 7.5%, 8% or something, the market's not going to get nervous very quickly. It's going to take a little bit of while. It's going to take 2-3 months of something else happening. Again, we took that risk premium out, so that's good. Will we be able to put it back in? I don't know, but when we're talking about them projecting 168 million metric tons, until you have a reason to argue it under, what, 160 or something, I just don't even think, you know, there's reason to talk about it much. And again, I don't think you can, you're at a point now where you can't really hurt the crop. All we got to do is make sure they get it planted. And let's face it, I don't care if it's dry or not. If the calendar hits a certain date, they're going to have it in the ground, I think, down there. And, you know, they'll wait for the rains.
Okay, so what would that look like? I mean, that would be pressure, harvest season pressure on the markets while we're putting seed in the ground, right?
That's right. And I think that's where the biggest risk comes into play for the American farmer. I mean, we can sit here and talk about what we do and don't want or whatever all winter. A $4 cash corn and $10 cash beans might just be where we have to live. And after that point comes, if you get caught holding the bag and they've got a big crop coming, you know, your risks, you know, rise exponentially, not only in a price risk scenario, but you've just held your money for another 6 months and paid interest along the way. And I think these are all still things that have to be discussed, you know, moving forward. We've just watched a lot of people carry a lot of crop a long time and don't want to see that, you know, pan out 2 years in a row necessarily. Find your way to take ownership, but don't take it all.
Man, this is going to, it's going to require and the reason I'm asking the questions is because I'm, you know, the thoughts have gone through my head as well, Sam, and the way that you're answering them, that you've obviously thought about it, guys are going to have to change the way they think about marketing and what that calendar means to their marketing schedule, right?
That's right. I mean, it's. I see a lot of changes coming. I mean, inflation in general is. We're just on the tip of this, I think, still. You look at cost of parts, cost of labor, everything, but cost of insurance could become a point of interest here moving forward the next couple of years after some of these disease problems we've seen.
Yeah, okay. All right, we've got more ground to cover here. I want to talk more about what those costs might mean for the acreage decisions for 2025. We're talking with Sam Hudson, Corn Belt Marketing, here on Agriculture.
Welcome to the soothing sounds of Cropland Seed. It's the kind of sound you only get with broad access to high-performing genetics and traits and years of data from extensive testing. Also, retailers can recommend what will work best in your fields. Take some stress out of your season. Talk to your local retail seed expert about Cropland Seed today.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine, not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
Let's go to the markets page at profarmer.com and check today's closes. For December, HRW wheat futures were 10.5 cents lower at 561.5. December SRW wheat down 10.25 cents to 558.75. December corn futures 4.5 cents lower today at 410.75. March corn down 4.75 cents to 424.75. January soybeans 11.5 cents lower on the day at 986. March beans down 10.75 cents to 998.25. December cotton today 30 points lower, 70.36. On your livestocks, December fat cattle were 12.5 cents higher at 189.27.5. November feeder futures up 62.5 to 49.20. December lean hog futures were 95 cents higher at 80.62.5. Get more. Visit tryprofarmer.com.
Well, now, which would you rather have? World-class seed genetics and traits, or seed that's been tested and proven to yield in your area? Well, with Pioneer, you get both, plus the support of a dedicated local team. For the unbeatable combination of elite seed genetics, local knowledge and insights, and rigorous local testing, contact the team at Bowers Seeds and Service, your local authorized Pioneer sales representative serving the Durand area. At Pioneer, our name is our mission, and what's next happens here.
I'm Paul Hambleton, your choice for state senate. Public schools are the center of civic life in rural Wisconsin, where school sports are the talk of the town, achievements are celebrated, and marrying your high school sweetheart is still a thing. Sadly, school funding has been neglected for two decades. As a former special ed teacher, I know how important it is to reach kids early, and the need is increasing. Yet there has been little help for the high cost of special education. Restricted state funding hasn't even kept up with inflation, forcing districts to go to referendum to increase property taxes just to keep the doors open, as 120 districts are doing on November 5th. Folks, it's time to work together. I'll work together across the aisle in the legislature to fix our school funding system for rural Wisconsin and keep our promise to the future, because together we can do better. I'm Paul Hambleton, and I approve this ad, paid for by the committee to elect Paul Hambleton.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Partly sunny today and unseasonably warm. That's thanks to the south breeze whipping up to 30 miles per hour, taking our temperatures to the low 70s. As they continue to stay feisty overnight and through tomorrow, we spike to 80 degrees. All ahead of rain rolling in on Wednesday into Thursday. Grandpa's Barbecue Sauce. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. Right now, it's 62 degrees.
Country Experience.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. We don't make the news, we render it. AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip Flory. Glad that you were with us on a Monday afternoon. Our guest analyst today is Sam Hudson, Corn Belt Marketing. Sam, I want to I'm just going over my notes, and there's a couple of things that I want to go back to here first. The energy markets, outside market influences. Jack Scoville, when we talked to him at the start of the show, he suggested that it might be a one-off. You know, the market's just reacting to an event. What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, with what I know about this situation so far, I would say I agree with that. I think everyone was kind of wound up going home last week and thinking, you know, what's about to happen, and kind of a bust in terms of that explosive, you know, tendency for the market. And so as far as catastrophic, if we get to that point, I mean, you start getting crude oil back under 65 for something else going on, then I really get nervous. I think for now, I'd like to see a little bit of a bounce back, and maybe we just go right back to that $69 to $70 area and then wait and see what happens with this election. So if you roll things right back over, I agree with you. The gap, you know, gap down in the bean oil definitely be something to be concerned about. But again, those crush margins are fairly good here. And if they've been locking in their margins here on the processor side, I still think there's a path to continue to see some appreciation in bean spreads and basis.
Okay. What are the risks that this pressure that we saw in the energy markets here today are a Trump trade? Are the ideas that Trump is going to win this thing and he is going to get crude oil prices back down to $40, not $70?
Well, that's the range of possibilities here are very wide. I mean, you could say the same thing about, you know, if Robert F. Kennedy ends up in cabinet, he's had a pretty big campaign against seed oils. I mean, there's a lot of things on the docket here that could take place.
Oh,
I don't think anything, I don't think any one of them we're going to learn about right away. I do think our energy independence would be kind of at the top of the list just as a general, you know, thought process, but the SPR has been drained quite a while. So there's quite a lot to retake there before anything really builds and we get into this burdensome supply situation. So I think I would expect stability in everything we're still doing right now into the end of the year. I think as you get into first, second quarter of next year, that's where things can really start to go haywire from a political standpoint, as we get guidance from whoever the administration is, but also from that South American weather and just geopolitics in general, because everyone's sitting here waiting to see who's going to be in charge and what that's going to mean for them, world leaders included. You know, are the checks going to keep coming in, or are they going to have to, you know, rethink what they've been doing the last 3.5, 4 years?
Okay. Good. Good. How did the yield story change as harvest progressed this year, Sam? What happened when guys started harvesting grain that was drier than optimum?
I don't know. I mean, I tell you what, I was ready for like $6 beans when bean harvest started, because we were seeing guys get like 80 to 100 bushel beans and thought, you know what, is this just going to be, you know, the trend? And the earliest ones were the best ones. I think they had the most water to live off of. You know, late ones just kind of ran out of gas, and they were still great, phenomenal yields around here, don't get me wrong, but just, you know, began to tail off. But as you mentioned, yeah, the dryness in crops, corn and beans both, I mean, everywhere, the corn did not spend much time in that 20 to 25% zone. You know, that's kind of the sweet spot where you'd like to really get harvest going. If you got dryers, you want to be able to use them, try to grab as much of that yield and weight as possible. But the later things got, I mean, a lot of beans out there were harvested between 8 and 10%. Plenty of corn coming in under 15, you know, 13% moisture. And so you don't want to handle crops like that. They're that dry very much. I mean, you're going to get more FM, more stuff like that going on in terms of storage. And so as a percentage, that might push a little bit more to the processor. You know, when you don't have to run that stuff through a dryer, it gets a little bit easier to just take it to town. When you got to run it through the dryer at home, it gets a little easier to just keep it in the bin.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Okay. What role is the wheat market playing in these grains right now?
Well, not a big one at this point. It just feels like it's a little bit of noise. It's just meandering. We got geopolitics always on the docket with that market, but just nothing certain about any of it. And so in the meantime, we still got ample domestic supplies. You got stocks to usage over 40% here domestically. You know, spreads and basis don't really pound the bullish drum there. And so it's just kind of the outside looking in terms of global price direction. And I think we're going to continue to follow that, but I don't necessarily think that's a real positive outlook. I think you're going to have drought or weather problems persist all the way into the first quarter of next year if you're going to, you know, rely on that market to turn things around from a supply standpoint.
Yeah. Yeah. Seems like there's some production concerns around the globe, but not enough. Sure. There's always production concerns around the globe for wheat, isn't there?
Well, yeah, we raise it all year round. You know, it's just when we start exporting more as a percentage, then you've got to perk your ears up and start getting in tune to that. Otherwise, I think it's just, you know, money moves and you know, short covering and whatever else you see geopolitically probably driving that market for us if it's not steady to lower.
Right. Okay. You know, a couple of weeks ago, it seemed like everybody wanted to talk about China. Maybe it was 3 weeks ago. That conversation, I think, has slowed a bit, but it's something that we need to keep in mind, isn't it?
It is. I mean, it's so early right now that you can kind of play both ends of it. A lot of people say, oh, look, you know, China hasn't bought X amount since whatever numbers you want to throw out. But you could also say, well, maybe they are just getting ready to start. You know, maybe they're going to look at restocking more. Maybe their economy is really in that bad of shape. It's difficult to really perceive where they're really at. And I think this gets chalked up to all those other topics we just talked about on the political side of things. They're going to posture themselves and put themselves in a position to win as best they can based on whoever's in office. And so as we start to see that guidance from the U.S., I think you'll start to see a bit of concern there. You know, a lot of talk about tariffs and stuff like that. Again, I think that can be posturing too. A lot of those tariffs are still in place. And my hope is that after the first time around, maybe there's a little bit more responsibility in terms of how that policy is laid out if Trump does win.
Okay. Or has China been emboldened over the last 4 years and they'll just take kind of a forget you attitude and stay clear of the U.S. market as much as possible?
Well, they could. I mean, see what they do, you know, watch what they do rather than what they say. Again, how many of the sales that we've got going on the docket right now are unknown. And what happens if we see another 2, 3, 4 months of this just persistent and doesn't go away? Mm-hmm. You know, then we start to think, okay, maybe they are in the market. But for right now, until you can write those down, I agree. It does get a little bit concerning, just adds to that list of uncertainties moving forward into that second quarter next year. We know what we've got, you know, take the bird in the hand approach, especially if you have great yields out there. You know, if you got 280 bushel corn, you may not want to sell it for 390 or whatever the cash price is, but you know, go back to the dollar per acre revenue projections you had at the beginning of the year. And if you're hitting some of those goals, go with what you know you got, because next year's going to be kind of tight, it looks like.
Okay. All right. I want to get to that before we're done. But first, we got a week's worth of trade between now and the elections. How is that having an impact on what's happening in commodities?
Right now, I don't think it's a lot. I agree with you and the opinion some others have had on the Trump trade as they're concerned about just trade in general. That's always going to be negative. I'm really interested in watching the action of the dollar. We've had a really big move there since the beginning of October. Come all the way back to 104.5 or something there. Mm-hmm. Keep an eye on that market. If we start trading that over 105.5, that is not good for us. But if you roll that thing back over, man, it could come at a really good time, you know, where we're really competitive on exports, and especially we put water again in the river. I know I've said that a lot, but we need to throttle up as much as we can on the demand while we can to even create a story. Because if we start to fall flat there before we even get to next spring, it's going to be an ugly time.
Yeah, no, I appreciate the fact that you've mentioned the river as many times as you have. We need to get that artery flowing again. And without it, it's going to be, it's not a positive the way that it stands right now. That is for sure.
Yep. Okay. Actually impressive we've been able to inspect as much as we have. I mean, we're on ahead of pace, actually. So.
Yeah. I've thought the same thing. And that bean number this week, I should say in the weekend of the 24th was pretty doggone good with the way the conditions are out there right now. Okay. It might be a little early to have this conversation, but I want to. What kind of shifts are you looking at on acres from this year to next?
From the economic standpoint the strength there on the farmer side, producer side, I got to believe there may be some encouragement going towards soybeans just to get away from some of the cost outlay. As you look at the bean corn ratio for next year, it looks like we're trying to auction that idea off. So I'm kind of at a crossroads there. And what's going to be interesting here is we've been so stinking dry. No one's putting any anhydrous on a lot of places. If they are, they better be saying a prayer right along with it. Hopefully this rain will provide more moisture to get some of that campaign done, but you never know when it's going to turn to snow or freeze up altogether or just start raining and keep raining. And so I think that could lead to a lot of open decisions as it comes spring, if it stays that way, in terms of what people want to put in the ground and what they don't. And if, you know, there is a change in office and that changes guidance and what we think can happen, you can still see quite a few decisions made based upon that.
Yeah. So what do you want to do with 25 crop marketing right now, Sam? Stay patient or get out in front of it?
From this point, I am being patient after what I've seen so far, but I think you have to be defensive on the soybeans. And part of the reason I say that, Chip, is you look at the way these spreads have acted. I mean, we have not eroded the old crop, new crop spreads in a big way. We just took a ton of carry back out of the bean market on the front end, but we've got a lot more loosed on this front end. And if it's right to be selling, you're better off selling what you know you've got and defending a position that you can really lean on than trying to go out a year ahead and say, oh, I just hope I don't screw up. So I'm going to go out there and forward market it. While you still have to forward mark, while you still have to cash sell this crop too, it does nobody any benefit. You can't create money. You can't do anything. As you start locking in those costs, that's what you can start looking at and say, okay, what do I want to start committing to here? And even if it's below the cost of production, sometimes we have to do that and leave the back door open. Volatility is really low in a lot of these markets. It's hard to do premium offer and OTC type stuff. So just got to know where you stand, but focus on that front end, especially if you got good yields and know where you're at on insurance.
Good stuff, Sam. Hey, man, thank you so much. I always enjoy having you on here.
Yeah, there's always lots to talk about, but you guys have a good finish to your harvest here. Thanks.
Fantastic. Sam Hudson, Corn Belt Marketing. All right, Kerry Artak is up next, taking a look at what's going on the charts here on AgriTalk.
Hey, this is Matthew with Bluff Country Feed and Seed. When you start to think about planting roots and building your foundation for spring, fertilizing crops is like putting money in the bank. You put dollars or pounds in, but are your investments paying you interest? Or does it seem like you only get out what you put in, or even less? Soil health and living biology are the ticket to unlocking the next bushel. Farming for Biology takes a customized approach. Let my team help create your soil health strategy. Check out our website or give us a call today.
Getting the kids to practice on time, remembering if it's your day to bring snacks, making it to the game with a clean jersey. Why are simple things sometimes so complicated? Thankfully, with Auto Owners, insurance doesn't have to be one of them. Auto Owners works with independent agents who answer when you call, so you can worry about more important things, like whether your kid is going to run toward first or third base. That's simple human sense.
Your Auto Owner's agent serving the Durand area is Jerry Thompson Insurance, a division of Ansay and Associates.
Sure, it's election season, but there are some things that all of us should still be able to agree on, like this. Elections in Wisconsin should be decided by the citizens of Wisconsin. But our democracy is under threat from radical groups that are fighting to keep the door open for illegal immigrants and non-citizens voting. Your Republican state legislators passed an amendment that would make sure only citizens get to vote. But a network of radical groups and special interests are fighting against it. Groups that support mass amnesty for illegal immigrants, abolishing ICE and funding sanctuary cities, outright socialists, all working together to keep the door open to non-citizens voting in our elections. Wisconsin, we need to protect our elections. Vote yes on the referendum and support Republican candidates for state Senate and state assembly who are fighting to protect your vote. The Republican Party of Wisconsin paid for and is responsible for the content of this advertising.
Fall fertilizer applications can be a very smart use of time in the Midwest. Dustin DeMoss with Nutrien joins us now to talk about some of the benefits of a fall fertilizer application. And talk to me about what you want growers to consider in the fall when they're thinking about a fall fertilizer app.
Yes, fall applications give the farmers a chance after harvest that when soil conditions and the weather window is really fit for getting in the field, gives them a chance to get some of that workload done in the fall before the spring season hits when everything's really busy in the spring. One of our products, MAP Plus MST, is a monoammonium phosphate-based fertilizer with our micro sulfur technology in each granule, making a homogeneous fertilizer.
So the micro sulfur technology, what does that bring to the package?
Our micro sulfur technology is micronized particles of elemental sulfur. When you look at typical sizes of elemental sulfur particles, they're much larger than our micro sulfur technology. And typically those larger particles of elemental sulfur take a long time to completely oxidize to make a form of sulfur that's available to the plant. Our micro sulfur technology that is in MAP Plus MST micronizes the particles of elemental sulfur and put them in each granule, so they're very, very fine particles of elemental sulfur. And what that does is it allows those fine particles in our MST technology to oxidize at a much quicker rate than traditional elemental sulfur particle sizes, which allows our MST technology to deliver sulfur to the crop when it needs it most, once the soil temperatures go up to allow the oxidation to happen in the spring.
All right. Keeps that product where it needs to be when the plant needs it the most. Good stuff there, Dustin. Where can listeners go for more information?
If you want more information about MAP Plus MST, you can go to smartnutritionmst.com.
Fantastic. Thank you, Dustin. Dustin DeMoss with Nutrien.
Want to get smarter and have some fun while you're at it? Introducing Unscripted and Grow Getters, two of agriculture's most entertaining and engaging podcasts. Hosted by U.S. Farm Report's Tyne Morgan and Ag Day's Clinton Griffiths, Unscripted is your chance to meet the personalities behind the personalities. And with heart and humor, Grow Getters with host Davis Michelson explores ag's most innovative side hustles. You can find Unscripted and Grow Getters on the Farm Journal YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. Not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
The best talkers in ag, including you. Join the conversation on AgriTalk. Call us at 855-4-TALK-AG.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. Great conversation there with Sam Hudson from Corn Belt Marketing. Cleaning up those supplies, I think, it happened to the old crop supplies, getting it out of the farmers' bins. I think that happened a little better than what was given credit, and it's having an impact on the markets as we go forward here. All right, it's Monday afternoon. That means it's time for a conversation with Kerry Artak, Artak Advisory, and WickedStocks.com. You can go to Artak Advisory, A-R-T-A-C, advisory.com. Get signed up for a free trial there. Kerry will take care of you. And if you are interested in the outlook, some of the technical outlook on equities, some of the stocks, go to wickedstocks.com and get signed up for a free trial there. All right, Kerry, get us started with Dease Corn.
Yeah, Chip, December corn, December 24 corn. I've been mentioning on your show, really last May it came into play. There's a 1 year, now really a 14 month channel top on the weekly continuation chart that these contracts, the lead contracts have been testing. In May, it was the July contract pushing into the 450s. At that time, the channel top was around 455 even. That held nicely. We fell off from there. The December contract low last August was 385. So we've bounced off of 385 from the 450s. And now that channel top that I mentioned is at 414 even this week. It was at 416 and a quarter last week. I mentioned on your show, if we can close above it at the end of a week by a 1% margin, this week's magic number is 418 and a quarter. So a Friday settlement at 418 and a quarter or higher would signal 1 to 2 month rally to 459 and three quarter. And that is a significant pivot point, 459 and three quarter into spring, summer of next year. If we can close above 459 and three quarter over the next couple of months, then we see real meaningful gains as we move into spring, summer. But we're not even close to that right now. In fact, if we can't close Friday at 418 and a quarter or higher, and certainly if we close below 414 even, which is that channel top, this market remains on its heels, on the defensive. The 385 August low for the December contract in reach again, perhaps by December expiration. And that begins right around 391 even. So the 385 even to 391 even area in reach by December expiration. If we can't get that buy signal at or above 418 and a quarter on Friday, and certainly with a settlement below 414 even. On to December live cattle. I mentioned on your show show. I don't talk live cattle every week, but back in August, September, we tested a four-year speed line projected off the 2020 low for the first time. That is a trend-defining line study. This broader live cattle market remains in a long-term bull trend above that speed line, which is 178.42. And the reason I'm mentioning it, and we're well above that right now, is that it looks to me, based on activity last week, that we are likely to reach our 3 to 5 month objective. I'd mentioned when we tested that speed line, the lower 190s, a 3 to 5 month target. And I think we're going to see the 191.30 to 192.45 area over the next week or two. The December contract threw off another buy signal, a near-term buy signal last week above 188 even, holding above 188 even, the 191.30 to 192.45 level likely over the next couple of weeks, where the broader live cattle market, D's contract, Feb contract on out, can top out through winter. And once tested, the broader market susceptible to falling back to that 178.42 speed line within the following 3 to 5 months or so. And by the way, that speed line rises to 182 and a quarter by year's end. On the other hand, if we were to close above 192.45, that would signal 100 even roughly for the broader market over the next 2 to 3 months, 3 to 5 months or so, which that can also contain seasonal buying pressure. So closing above 192.45, we got another eight handle rally roughly over the next several months. And by the way, the February contract, the April contracts will inherit these price points that I'm giving you right now. Downside this week, if the December contract closes below 188 even, we have a good high into expiration, that 182 and a quarter long-term support then in reach by December expiration. Once again, 182 and a quarter is presently 178.42 and climbing weekly. And finally, stock pick of the week, Tesla. By the way, wickedstocks.com does present daily Tesla analysis on its free YouTube channel. So everything I'm saying here can be seen on our YouTube channel. I just want to mention we had the higher earnings last week, had an explosion to the upside in Tesla, and is now fast approaching a significant overhead ceiling, 275.81 this week, rising channel top, able to contain buying through the rest of the year. Once tested, we could fall back to 220 even within 1 to 2 months. That's roughly a 20% drop from 275.81. So that's a big test. On the other hand, if we close Friday above 275.81, just the opposite, significant bullish continuation through the rest of the year, 336 even, then becoming a 1 to 2 month target. And that's roughly a 20% plus rally above 275.81. So that's pretty much all I got, Chip. Thanks much.
All right, Kerry. Hey, thank you. Appreciate that update. Again, go to rtacadvisory.com for commodities, wickedstocks.com for the equities outlook. And that call on Tesla, we're going to pay attention to that very closely. Okay, man. National Weather Service, 6 to 10-day outlook. I know this is hard to believe, but it calls for above-normal temperatures for November 3rd through the 7th.
Okay.
Can you believe it?
All right.
Yeah, above normal temperatures.
I'm coming around. Yeah.
All right. It's also got above normal precipitation through the entire Corn Belt, including high odds for above normal precipitation through Texas, New Mexico, Oklahoma, Kansas, Nebraska, Iowa, southern Minnesota, Wisconsin, Illinois, most of Indiana. Arkansas's in on that. I mean, it is a large area with significant odds of above normal precipitation. That's for November 3rd through the 7th. When we jump out to the 8 to 14 day, this is for November 5th through the 11th. We've got above normal temperatures across the entire Corn Belt. Above normal precipitation expected in the central and southern areas. When you get up to North Dakota, northern Minnesota, and northern South Dakota, you're looking at below normal precipitation expectations, again, for November 5 through 11. Thank you so much for listening today. We got the week started. Tomorrow morning, Mitchell Hora from Continuum Ag. Tomorrow afternoon, guys, Sean Hackett, Hackett Financial Advisors. Right here on AgriTalk.
Hi, I'm Paul Niefer, a CPA and author of the Farm CPA blog and column for Top Producer.
Join me every week on the Top Producer Podcast for conversations about the top trends in farm management, tax issues, succession planning, policy implications, and more. Each week, I visit with business-minded farmers and ag experts for lively and in-depth conversations. Subscribe to the Top Producer Podcast, available on your preferred podcast platform, and listen to a new episode every Tuesday.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Hey, it's Fitz from the Country Top 40. And I'd like to take a moment to say thank you to my beautiful wife and all my babies and my mom and dad, because I'm so grateful for them. And even when I'm having a tough day, I have them around and everything's okay. This month is all about gratitude. And along with all those folks I just shouted out, there's another person that we don't get to thank enough, ourselves.